Hey Mal Cheshvan, Wednesday the 2nd of November, by Joseph Perlman, Bochinashi.
Shalom Aleichem. I was asked by Rudy Itzkovitz to speak on the Indian of Bochinashi and Shiramalas, which we say on Shabbos, which we've just started from Parshas Bereishis. He wrote down their topical theme just to give an opportunity for other possibilities, but we will stick to that topic. Now, in order to understand why we do say Baruch Inafshi and Shir HaMalas in the winter, and we say Pirkei Avos in the summer, you have to understand a little bit about Mincha itself. Shabbos Mincha is a very, very interesting time of the week. It's the high point of the end of the Shabbos. It's a tremendous Kedusha. Mincha is a time of when prayers are answered, etc. And the whole of the structure of Shabbos Mincha is a topic in its own. Why we say Vanis Filosi, for example, and the structure of the Shemoneh Esrei Ato Echad. But we're going to hone in after the end of Shemoneh Esrei. And in order to understand what's going on, we need to start off with the three psukim tzidkoscho. Tzidkoscho tzedek v'sedes ha'emes, which is we Ashkenazim say the three psukim in reverse order. The three psukim which are said, we say them back to front, whereas the Sfaradim say them in the ordinary order. Now, what I didn't want to burden everybody with hundreds of pieces of paper and huge amount of references, but once upon a time I did go into the subject. And anybody who wants to take a copy of the detailed inyanim, apart from the actual seder in front of you, that we've got here a whole subject of Tzidkoscho Tzedek and why it is in its particular form and so forth. And the questions one can ask is, A, why is there altogether an Indian Tzidkoscho Tzedek? Two, why do Ashkenazim say it back to front and Sfaradim say it in the correct order? Three, why are we saying it before Kaddish Tiskabel? That's unusual. Normally you'd say Kaddish Tiskabel and then you would say the Tzidkoscho afterwards. Why are we saying it all together? And all these questions are all of interest, and I have dealt with them in that particular sheet. But nonetheless, let's briefly go through, because that will give you the introduction to what's happening afterwards. The other question is why we don't say it when it would have been a day of Tachanun. If we're going to say it, let's say it. Why leave it out when it's Erev Rosh Chodesh or something like that? What difference does it make? Because what Shabbos is Shabbos anyhow. So if you can't say it on Shabbos, then you can't say it altogether. If you can't say it on Shabbos, why should there be any difference if it's of Yom Tov following or it's Rosh Chodesh following it? Well, there are a number of different explanations. The normal explanation which is given is that Moshe Rabbeinu died at that time. And because Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest tzaddik in history, and there's a din that when a tzaddik dies, everybody mourns. It's a sort of, although you can't have a mourning on Shabbos, but because of the Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu, we have this special inyan that we don't learn Torah, Barabim, etc. We do other things. That's how the problem with that is, the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die on Shabbos. We know he died on Erev Shabbos. And so there's a whole discussion as to when Moshe Rabbeinu actually died. I'm not going to go into the detail, we haven't got time now, but there are basically three shittas. One says he died on Erev Shabbos, so the Rashi inserted, which some people learn they died on Shabbos morning, and there's others who say he died on Shabbos afternoon. However, the general consensus is that he did die on Erev Shabbos, because there's a lot of arithmetical and mathematical calculations to show that it must have been on an Erev Shabbos. However, although he died then, he wasn't actually buried finally until Shabbos afternoon. This is a huge, long Bach who explains that this is what happened, that he actually did pass away on Friday, but he didn't come to final rest until Shabbos after the Kavura, Shabbos after Mincha, when he had the final Kavura. And therefore, on Shabbos afternoon, between Mincha and Maariv, the custom came about that we will not learn Torah Barabim. What you've got to do is other things. We'll do Agoda, we can learn, you can learn Pravdi Bechavrusa, but we don't have detailed sort of koilo seder on after Mincha on Shabbos for that reason. That's one of the explanations. Another explanation is that not only did Moshe pass away, but also David and Yosef. Three people passed away. And therefore, we have three psukim. Each of these psukim represents one of those three gedolim. And because this is what the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, he says the reason why we Ashkenazim say it back to front is because the first one represents Moshe, Katoroscha Emes, and the other two represent David and Yosef. We haven't got time to go into the actual relationship between each of the Pesukim, but it's written down there. You'll see that these are the three great Gedolim, and that would explain why Ashkenaz has it back to front. One of the explanations.
David was number two. Moshe, David, and Yosef.
No, Moshe, Yosef, and David. Do you want to know which one's which?
Yes.
No, well, Yosef would be second, because Yosef is obviously the second in order. Right. Next. The other explanations for saying Tzidkoscha are that the Rishoyim go back to Gehenim on Motzei Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And therefore, this is an Indian of, so to say, Tzidok Adin, before they just about to go back, they wanted to say this Tzidkoscha Tzedek. Just before that, since these inyanim, both the one I mentioned before and this one, relate to sort of inyanim avelus, etc., now it becomes clear why they don't say it when it's Yom Sheni Bar Tachanun. If it's a day when you wouldn't normally say Tachanun, then even though it is Shabbos anyhow, but you would, although if it had been a day when you would have said Tachanun, then the Shabbos would allow you to say the Tzidkoscha Tzedek. But if it, without the Shabbos, there would have been no Tachanun anyhow, then it's not an appropriate occasion. We don't want to mix up Simcha with Eiva. That's how they explain that. Why is it before Tzidkoscha? The explanation for that one is that once you've finished Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha, or any Shemoneh Esrei, it's as if to say the day has come to an end in a form of way, although it's still the same day, it's as if the day is now at the end. And Kaddish Tiskabel is the siyum of Shema. Everyone knows that the Tiskabel is connected with Shemoneh Esrei. The Rai is, for example, if half the people walk out and you've only got half a million left, you can finish off the Kaddish Tiskabel, because that relates to the Shemoneh Esrei. You can't start something new, but anything which relates to the section which you're doing, you can finish off, and therefore you could continue. So Kaddish Tiskabel relates to Shemoneh Esrei. A very interesting raya for this is brought by the Mogen Avraham on the last day of Shemoneh Atzeres, I beg your pardon, you can start clearing away the stuff from the sukkah, and it's not considered a hachana for the next day because somehow or other it's connected with the day which follows. And therefore, if you left the Tzidkoscha after Kaddish Tiskabel, it would be too late. You would have lost the whole inyan of the Mincha at that time, and therefore it has to be said before the Kaddish. It's a very interesting factor. There are other reasons for the three different Tzidkoschos. Some say it's connected with the three Suddhas, which we have on Shabbos. We have Shabbos Suddhas, and each one has a relationship to that. Then there's also the idea that if you take the last words, it gives you Hashem Elokim Emes. The last words of these three psukim. And we want to finish Shabbos on the inyan of Emes, because we know that Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, this is the end of the week. Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes and Shalom, that's why we always say Sim Shalom at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Emes and Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, sealing points. And because we want to finish with this, we have to say Hashem Elokim MS in those three psukim. It's an idea. That would therefore support the nusach of the Svardim. that's the, which follows the order of the psukim, and the last one is Hashem, Toshi Hashem. The second one is Elokim Michamoicha, and the third one is Erasko Emes. So, what do we poor Ashkenazim do? What do we do? What are we going to do about it? The answer is very simply: we have to be mahapechit to show that we are not saying Tzidkoscha simply because of the MS, we're actually saying it for the other reasons, and therefore we don't want to say it davka in the correct order. So if we said it in the correct order, then you would assume that this is the only reason why we're saying it, because the chosam becomes MS. So we have to say, no, we don't want to do it that way, because you get the wrong reason. The real reason is because of the reasons which we mentioned before. Therefore we davka can't say it that way. So whichever way you learn, you've got a reason for your minhag. Now, there are other reasons given as well. There is the fact that this represents the Torah was given on Shabbos, and if you look, this is a gematria in, and if you look at it, you'll find that there are 10 words in the last pasuk which we say. There are 40 letters in the middle pasuk, and there are 7 words in the first pasuk. So you've got 10 words, which is the Sesa Dibras, 40 letters, which is the 40 days and 40 nights, and which Moshe Rabbeinu was in heaven, and, five words, that's not what I say, 7. 5 words, Kineged B'chamisha Chumshei Torah. And that's the reason why we chose these psukim, because of the gematria, which will give you the whole idea of the Torah, which was given on Shabbos, to finish the Shabbos off with an inion of Torah. Now that would seem, again, actually, if you think of that, the order would support Ashkenaz, not Sfarad. Why? Because you'd normally start off with the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, wouldn't you? That's the first pasuk. You then find the 40 Osis Kenegah, the 40 days of Moshe went to heaven to get it. And finally, what have you got? You got the Sesa Dibras, you got the last 10. But according to the Nusra Sfarad, it's back to front. So you have to say Nusra Sfarad would follow the order of the pasuk, and that wasn't a good enough reason to change it. Anyhow, you can see that in this Tzidkos HaTzedek, there's a huge amount of background to it as to why it said. But the Ikar reason which is given is because it's a time when the great Gedolim passed away. Now, because of that, there came the Takona, so to speak, that we've got to replace the absence of learning Torah in the normal way by something else. So what did they normally do? They had droshes in Agoda and in Musa, etc. Well, it came about the minig that during the summer period, we will say something of Agoda which will be relevant. And what did they choose? They chose Pirkei Avos. Why Davka Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos, because Mishnayos Avos is the only Masechta in Shas which is not of Halacha. There's a famous Medrash that says Shishim Geberim. Shishim Geberim refers to the 60 Masechtas of Shas. And they all ask the kashas, but the 61 Masechtas of Shas. If you look at the Rambam, he sets that 61. Oh, we've got, some say 63, but that's because you have the Babas separately. But assuming the Babas are all together, you've got 61. So what's going on here? So there's a brilliant Rishash. The Rishash says, yes, you didn't read the Medrash properly. The Medrash doesn't say the 60 Masechtas in Shas. It says there are 60 Masechtas shel Halacha b'Shas. That's right. There are 60 Masechtas of Halacha, but there's one which is not Halachas, and that's Pirkei Avos, which is Agoda. That's Agoda, it's not Halacha. So there are 16 Masechtas of Shas of Halacha, but there's only one of Agoda. And that Pirkei Avos is the one of Agoda, which they chose to say during the summertime. Also, of course, it's absolutely relevant to Pesach, to Shavuos, because the 6 Parokim go from Pesach to Shavuos, and that's well known that the Sephardim, the real Sephardim, Eidus HaMizrach, they stop saying it after Shavuos. They only say that time. We continue on for the reasons which we mentioned before. We just repeat it until we come to Rosh Hashanah. But they actually stop, because they say these 6 Parokim are the Hachona for the Kabbalah Satorah. And the last Perek, of course, Perek Shishi, is Perek Kinyan Torah. How do you get to it? So it's absolutely appropriate to say Pirkei Avos during the summertime, reaching up to Shavuos, and then continuing on during the whole of the summer, which is that particular period. However, when we start after Bereshis, they decided we're not going to say Pirkei Avos, because that's the Pesach. During the winter, we've got to find something more appropriate to winter period. And bearing in mind also that the period of time available, in especially in the in our hemisphere, in our area, in the summer, you've got plenty of time between Mincha and Maariv, because Shabbos is that much later. So you can be Maariv in the Pirkei Avos, and you can look into it, and so on. But during the winter, you haven't got much time. You've got Mincha, you've got Shalosh Shuddos, and you can already Maariv. So since there's very little time left, they decided that Tehillim would be the most appropriate thing. Now, if you look at the Ramah, Shteim Afurish and the Ramah, I've written this down on your sheet here, the Mechaber says, Omim Tzid Koscha, on Mincha, then Chal Bo Beyom Sheilu Hayachol Lo Hayom and Bo Bemincha Nefilasapayim. Like we mentioned before, if you wouldn't have said Tachanun, ain't Omer Tzid Koscha. That's a separate thing. However, the Noagu says the Rago Shelo Likboa Medrash Bemincha LeMayriv. We do not make a Medrash. That means you do not have a whole Koyla learning program between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos. Avol Oimrim Pirkei Avos Bekayitz, which we've just explained. V'Shir HaMalos B'Choyrev. And in the winter, he used to say Shir HaMalos. He doesn't mention Baruch Nafshi, he just says Shir HaMalos. V'Chol Mokam Lefi Minhogo. You see, he accepts the Minhogim in different places we grew up. There are places which don't say this all together, go straight to the Shal Shudas. But our Minhag Ashkenaz certainly is. And after, immediately after Sukkot, when the Shabbos started in the winter, we said Baruch Nafshi and Shir HaMalos. So before we come to Shir HaMalos, let's look at Baruch Nafshi. The reason why Baruch Nafshi was chosen is because it's Mamish, the Tehillim, which relates to Bereshis. The Seder of Bereshis is set out in detail in Baruch Nafshi. It's a praise where David HaMelech is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every aspect of the Bria. Now, if you have a look at number Gimel of this list here, I've briefly set out the Sukkim relating to which day of creation it relates. So if you look at the first six psukim of Baruch Nafshi, you'll see it's relating to all sorts of things which took place on the first day. In brief, it talks about Ha'oir, the light, it talks about the Hashomayim, it talks about the Mayim, it talks about the clouds, the firmaments, it talks about the Ruach, it talks about the Esh, and it talks about the land. All that took place on the first and second days of creation. So the first chelik of Baruch Nafshi is praising the creation process starting from the Bria of the first day. Then the next part from Pasuk Zayin to Pasuk Yudbeis talks about the Hayabosho, the Yam, and the Nahoros. That all took place on the first part of Tuesday. Then from Yud Gimel to Yud Ches talks about Peri Ho'adomo, the Ilonos, the Tziporim, the Yealim, the Shefanim, the Horim, and the Sloim. All that is relating to what took place on the second part of the Tuesday. And then the next bit from Yud Tes to Chof Daled, Hashemesh Vayarech Hayom Vo'Laila, that's clearly the Me'oros, which took place on Wednesday. Chof Hei to Chof Vav is Hayom B'chol Asher Bo, which is all the fish, the dogim, and no bracha of dogim, B'yom Chamishi. And then finally, the last Chof Zayin to Lamed is talking about, not quite the seventh, the penultimate one, is talking about the Balei Chaim. And then finally, Lamed Aleph to Lamed Hei is talking about the Simcha Saboire Be'olamo, the Simcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the creation, which is the Simcha which we have, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashur Lashem B'chayai, etc., Azamro L'Lekai Be'odi, we're so excited to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made this wonderful, wonderful Bria. So, Alpha, clearly Baruch Nafshi is an absolutely appropriate mizmor to say, starting from Bereshis. But Bereshis doesn't stop immediately at a day later. Although Sefer Bereshis is over, the Brias HaOlam continues through the whole of the winter. And we see that when the spring comes, everything starts growing again. So the Bria is a long process, and we're saying the Baruch Nafshi the whole of the winter, because that is part of the Brias HaOlam until we reach Pesach. Once Pesach's come, the Tevuah, etc. is already out, and then we move across to Pirkei Avos. On the other hand, there is always a practical aspect, as we mentioned before. It could be that because once it comes to Pesach, the times are getting a bit longer again, so we've got more time, so we go to something different from the Tehillim. So both those are pertinent factors. Of course, Baruch Hinashi is said on Rosh Chodesh. That's a separate, a very fascinating topic on its own, why it's said on Rosh Chodesh, and we also said the first psukim before we put on our talis. So Baruch Hinashi is a very, very popular mizmor, but we're going to concentrate on Shabbos Mincha, and that is the reason why Baruch Hinashi is said at Shabbos Mincha, but not before Tiskabel, like Tzidkos HaTzedek has said before, but afterwards. And what's the connection? Well, it's connected with Tzidkos HaTzedek from what we said before, that because Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and or the great Gedolim passed away, and therefore we said Tzidkos HaTzedek, therefore we can't learn Torah, therefore we've got to replace it with something else, and therefore we chose Baruch Hinashi. That's how it all works. So there's that connection. From there we move on to the Shlema. Why Davka after Baruch Hinashi Shiramaras? Well, you see from the Ramor that in fact Shiramaras came before the Baruch Hinashi, because he doesn't even mention it. That's something which we do, and everyone according to his meaning. But what is this special Indian? Well, obviously the Shiramaras is very, very potent, because this is the 15 steps which led up to the Beis Hamikdash. We're going from mundane right to the Kodesh. And when Shabbos is coming to an end, and the Kedush is coming to the end, and remember we said it's the theme of Torah, etc., highly appropriate to get a set of Mizmorim which are going to elevate us and take us to the highest level, take us right up to the Kedusha at the top. And therefore, the Shemaz was chosen. Shemaz, there are 15 of them. It's a remarkable number, this number 15. You know how keen I am on numbers. If you look at Rabbeinu Bachya, mispronounced usually as Rabbeinu Bachya, in Parshas Terumah, at the beginning of Parshas Terumah, he tells us there are 15 ingredients in the Mishkan. Rashi says there are 13. He says there are 15. You have the same dichotomy in Yishtabach and in Baruch Shomar. Many Mepharshim say there are 13 Baruchs in Baruch Shomar, which is what we've got, and 13 praises in Yishtabach, and that's with Halacha, because you'll find that the Chazan will stop before Brochus or Hodos. He stops and he starts with Brochus or Hodos is a new Indian. And that's the Magen Avraham says that it's alright to stop at Brochus or Hodos, because there's 13 before and those two are separate. That's one shita, because 13 is of course the Yudgim Midas. It's a very interesting number. However, there's another shita which says there's got to be 15 Baruchs in Baruch Shomar, and we don't have it, but I've seen when I was in Bevis Marks, I once saw a Portuguese Nusach where they actually have a couple of extra Baruchs in the Baruch Shomar, and there actually is a Nusach with 15 Baruchs. Next time you're there, fish out one of their Sidurim and see if you can work it out. And in Yishtabach, of course, the Baruchus HaDos, according to this Shitta, is part of the other. So you have 15 Shavachim in Yishtabach, which represent this high point of Simcha. And I'm always very, very quick to point out, that's why Ashkenaz has 15 words in the Chasima of Yishtabach, and by adding in extra words as the Nusach Sfarad does, you lose that segula. Only Ashkenaz has that segula of the 15 words from the Brachat Hashem to the end of Yishtabach. And similarly, we find the 15 Vovim, Emes V'yatsiv V'nachem V'kayim V'yosha, the 15 Vovim, all to do with Moshe Rabbeinu when he was vindicated, he lost the Vovim and he suddenly found them, he jumped for joy, and he was massacring the 15 words of Emes, there were actually 16, but one is Aramaic, the 15 words with the Vovim, 15 Vovim. This number 15 is the high point of Simcha. It all comes from a famous Medrash, which says that the Talis are compared to the moon reaches its crescendo on the 15th of the month, the most light, bright part of the month, and he says Klal Yisrael is similar to that, because Avraham Avinu started off Klal Yisrael, and 15 generations from Avraham Avinu we came to the Beis HaMikdash in Shlomo, and 15 generations later, the time it said Kiyohu, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we reach a sort of inverted parabola whereby at the top we have the Beis HaMikdash, and that is the 15th point. And Rabbeinu Bachya brings all sorts of examples, like example 15 words in the Birchas Kayin. This number 15 is a number which is the high point of Simcha when Klal Yisrael have reached its crescendo. And that's why there are 15 Shiramalas in. Because when you reach the final Shiramalas, you're reaching to the Kisei HaKavod, so to speak, that's the final place. And that's why the Shiramalas were chosen to be either, we have it after Baruch Hinashi or according to the Roy by themselves, because the Shabbos at that point is a wonderful thing. Now I want to finish off with a thing which fascinates virtually everybody, and no one really knows as the answer as well as they should. Why is it that in the 15 Shir HaMarasim, one of them has a Lamed? They're all Shir HaMaras, but one of them is Shir Lamaras. And everybody knows it because that's the one we say when there's when there's Soros, we say Sora, when somebody's ill, we say Shir Lamaras Esa Einai El Hei. Why did they change their Hei to a Lamed? Why can't they all be the same? Why is one different from all the rest? Now, for this, if you look at your list, I've got you 7 different answers. I'm not sure we'll have 7 minutes to go through the whole lot, but very quickly. Rashi, in a bracketed Rashi, I don't quite know the significance of that particular bracket, whether it was Rashi or somebody inserted it, said, really, it should have been the first Shir HaMaras.
Which one?
The Lamed. It should have started off Shir Lamaras. Now, that makes sense. If the first one is the Lamed Shir to get on, first of all, you've got to get onto the lift. Once you're on, you can keep going up. But the first one's thing is to get on it. So how do you get on it? Shir Lamaras. So then why is it second? Ein Mutum Melucha. It should have been the first one. But, you know, when there's no put together, but there's no Muqtim and Ma'ucha, and therefore, really, it should have been. If it's the first, I've got no question. Because Shir Lamaras, you get onto the steps, and after that, you go up. That's what it said. Rashi himself quotes the Sifri. It says, Remez Lamaras Sa'oilus Latzadikim La'osad Lovo El Kiseyakovat. He doesn't explain why this one is the second one. But he does explain that Lamalus is different from the rest, because Lamalus is the way to get up. It's a way of getting up to the top. And it doesn't explain why that's the second one, but presumably it's got something to do with a particular mizmar. If we're going to come to another explanation, when actually if you build the two together, it comes out beautifully. We'll do that in a second. The third explanation is a typical grammatical explanation of the Rishonic grammarians, you know, the great scholarly grammarians. There's no difference between a lamed and a hey. It's all the same thing. Nishkenaf gemina. Here it was one, here it was the other. Now, if we were to say that, we'd think we're mad. But these are great Rishonim. People like the Radak and Ibn Ezra often did that. Just stop worrying so much about the detail. It just is how it is. You don't have to be so medactic. People like the Malbim and the Radvaz go wild with this sort of explanation. They have the similar sort of thing with Kri and Ksiv. So they say, well, it's not the end of the world. That's what these great Rishonim did say, this sort of thing. But people like the Radvaz and the Malbim couldn't stand that particular type of approach. They wanted to see Kedusha and everything, and therefore they wouldn't accept it. But I just mention it because the Radak, after all, there's a great Rishon. He says, stop worrying so much about it. It's nishkefalech. It could be Lamed and Hay are interchangeable. But I must say to the immediately afterwards, Oba Medrash, Yesh Medrash, that there's the Shir of Meo Malos. That's what he says. He mentions there's a Medrash of Meo Malos. He didn't tell you what this Medrash is of Meo Malos, but he says Shir Lamalos is because it's Meo Malos. That's the Medrash. What's it all about? Well, the answer is in the Gaon. The Gaon says there is Meo Malos. How? If you take 14 hays of Shir HaMalos, how much is 14 times 5? 70. 70. Right? How much is the Lamed? 100. So you had to change the hay to Lamed because we wanted to get Meo Malos. You couldn't get Meo Malos out of the hays, so you had to put a Lamed in. That gives you the 100. So now you've got 100 Malos. What's the significance of 100? Well, 100 is a very significant number. But the Gaon says because 100 was the size of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was 50 and 50, and therefore we want to get in the Mishkan. We're talking about the Mishkan. We're talking about raising and then the Mikdash. So obviously we want to get to this number 100, so they have to stick the Lamed in. And that fits in beautifully with the Radak, this Medrash which you don't know about, of the Meo Malos of some sort.
Sorry?
Okay. maybe it wanted to tell you really it should have all been Hamalos, but we've got to stick one in to get the 100. So we better put it in somewhere. We can't put it in the beginning because that would mess up the system of the Hays. Or there's another explanation. It could be relevant to this particular mizmah. We'll see. I'll explain to you in 1 second. Hang on. The Eretz HaChaim suggests that the Lamed is dafka relevant to this particular mizmah because Lamed is 30. What's the significance of 30? Well, if you remember your Pirkei Avos chapter Shish of Evolve, you'll find that the Torah is 48 milers, Akuna is 24 milers, but what's 30 milers? What are 30 milers? Do you remember? Shloshim. HaTorah Niknis is 48. Kahuna is 24. But Malchus is 30. So the Malchus is... Therefore, this one obviously is referring to Malchus. So it's got to do with the Inyan that David HaMelech says, I want to be a king. And it, although this particular chapter is actually talking all about Yaakov, it's clearly this Shulamath is relating to Yaakov. However, David is saying, I want to be king, and I'm learning from Yaakov, may I in Yovo Ezri? And a lot of the Mephoshim said, may I is not a question from where will it come, may I in, it will come from nothing. As long as I'm an Onov, I will be a king. Kashbuch will help me, and Nov will give me the help. And everybody knows that the biggest miler that a king of Klansra has to have is Anovo. That's why Yehuda has got a Dalet in his name, Dalet is Dalet, and Oni Reche Bechamar, a king of Klansra has to be an Onov. And that's why the Lamed, which is Shloshim Milas, is put in the same posuk, may I in Yavo Ezri, may Ezra will come from humility. That's a perish, a bit of a drush from Tzachar. Let me finish off, however, with the most beautiful explanation of the Oznaim Latorah. The Oznaim Latorah wrote a perish on Chumash, but he's also, one came out on Tehillim. He suggests like this, he says like this. You asked before why the Lamed has got to be in the second one. And remember, we've also got Rashi's explanation that the Lamed is in order to get yourselves to a higher up. It is like this. Yes, Shir Hamalas means this is a state. Hamalas, we want to be carried up. Lamalas means you've got to get onto it. Shir Lamad, how are you going to get onto it? So he says like this. First, you've got to do your own piece of Ishtadlis. You can't expect a Kodesh Baruch Hu to lift you up to the Kisei HaKavod and come around to show you start mispalling a Kodesh Baruch Hu do everything you want. No. You first got to do your own little Ishtadlis, your own little bit. Pischu li kepesach shel machat vaniach tach lechor kepesach shel umat. You do your little bit. You go and know where you've got to do. Shir Hamas. I'm not going to make it easy for you at the beginning. I'm going to say the Shir Hamalas, you want to get onto the steps, you want to go onto this lift, you want to get onto this aeroplane which is going to take you to the Kisei HaKavod. That's not going to happen automatically. Shir Hamalas, you do it first. There's no help at the first stage. This is in front of you, it's up to you. However, once you've got onto it, Shir Hamalas, then the Malas themselves will help you up the next stage. Once you've got yourself onto the escalator, you don't have to do anything. It goes up by itself. So the first thing, you've got to get on the escalator. There's nothing to help you. So Shir Hamalas is, you've got in front of you an elevator. Now it's up to you to get onto it. Once you're on the elevator, Lamalas, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will take you the rest of the way. The Malas themselves will be Malas. Shir Lama, the Shir is talking to the Malas now, not to you. The Malas should bring you up. So he says, Rak le'acha sha'ola ba'atzmo al madrego rishoino, once you've started on the route, then you can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do all the rest. So the Milas are, first of all, the first shift to go on the first step, but the second one, which is all about Ezri Me'ashem, the most beautiful tefillah in its own, and all talking about how Yaakov Avinu got his zivug, etc. It's a whole medrash which tells us exactly what went on it with Yaakov Avinu, which is actually interesting because we know the number 15 also represents the husband and the wife. Because the yud of the ish and the hay of the isha, and the number 15, so when we know that this particular mizmah is particularly relevant to the number 15, because it is to do with the zivug, which is esa enai elahorim. This is what Yaakov is saying, and that's why it's particularly appropriate to have the lamed in that particular mizmah in order to get on the elevator to take us to the Kisei HaKavod at the end of Shabbos. Yeah.